Thank you, Vicki and Josie. It's good to have a mom and daughter up here singing for us on Mother's Day weekend, isn't it? Happy Sabbath, church family. You know, I use those words, church family, a lot. And I hope that you know that I mean it when I say those words. This is a weekend where we're thinking a lot about family, isn't it? And I want you to know that I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of not just a community of faith, and it is a community of faith, but of a family. Amen. And I love you. When I think about this church family, I think about a place that has embraced me and my family, my daughters, in a way that is so significant, in a place that where there's been collective planning to have this be a place where our families can come to know love and to know the source of love. And I'm grateful today to be a part of this church family. I'm especially grateful for the women of faith that are a part of this church. Amen. Every single one of you play a part in helping us to see a demonstration of the love of God. And so today, as we honor women of faith, it's not just for moms, it's for every woman in this church. And so you could see, by the way, that there are extra flowers here. So if you're looking around, and not just boys and girls, but if any of you are looking around today and you see a woman of faith that you want to honor just by sharing a flower, please, when the service is over, feel free to do that. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles to John chapter 19. And someone asked me today, Pastor Greg, do you preach every Mother's Day? And the answer to that question is no. And in fact, last year I preached on Mother's Day, and I preached a sermon called The Worst Mom in the World. I thought maybe that would be the last time I ever preached on Mother's Day. I preached a sermon on Mother's Day about the biblical woman, Gomer, and what we can learn from the worst mom in the world. And I thought maybe that was the last time I'd ever speak on Mother's Day, actually. But here I am again, and today have the opportunity to share a message called A Gift for Mom, Uncommon Love, A Gift for Mom. We've been here in Pleasant Valley, we've been this year focusing on uncommon love. You can see the banner that's behind me. It talks about uncommon love, the passage, John 13:34, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. And today I want to, one kind of central point that I hope that we will see together is that mom love is uncommon love. Look at the person next to you and say, mom love is uncommon love. If the person next to you happens to be your mom, that's a gift from God. And know this, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, and we're thankful for the gift of mom love. If the person next to you is your sibling, brother or sister, go ahead and look at them right now and just say, mom loves me more. One of the things that my sister and I always tease each other about is that mom loves me more, and my sister says that on a regular basis as well. And I just was thinking about the incredible nature of mom love. How is it that two children can grow up in the same household, both of whom are convinced that mom loves me more? That's something that speaks something about the kind of love that we experience from our moms. Let's, as we turn our attention to Scripture, as we dig deeper into this uncommon love that we see revealed in moms and in God, let's bow our heads and just ask for the Holy Spirit's presence to enlighten our minds. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. We have already experienced your presence, and that's why we come. Because weekly we need to come and be reunited with you in a community of faith, in a family. Amen. And so we thank you that you meet us here. We thank you that your presence is here. We acknowledge that. And we ask now that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds as we look at Scripture together, as we worship you, Jesus, We continue to do that as we see you revealed and your love revealed in your word. I pray that you'll speak directly to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Mom love is uncommon love. In John chapter 19, we read the story of the crucifixion of Jesus. And there's a passage that I was drawn to that speaks about Jesus and the relationship that he had with his mother. That's going to be our central focus for the message today. It begins in verse 25, and it's speaking about the narrative of the crucifixion. And the scripture says this, John 19, verse 25, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Mom love is uncommon love. When we think about the uncommon love that Jesus talked about in John 13:34, it says, "Love each other just as I have loved you, so you're to love each other." The clearest demonstration of the uncommon love of Jesus came on the cross. And we're in this moment seeing a picture of one facet of the uncommon love of Jesus. Are you with me? The cross revealed Jesus' uncommon love, didn't it? The love of God, uncommon love, was revealed in the person of Jesus on the cross. And in John 15, just a couple of chapters previous to this, in verse 12, it almost echoes the same thing. Jesus says, "This is a command that I'm giving you. Love each other as I have loved you." And then verse 13 says, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends." Amen. So the cross was a great demonstration of Jesus' love. That was one of the great purposes of the cross, was to reveal to the world the love of Jesus, the love of God, the love of God the Father. And I want to say that in that moment, there was something so significant about the interaction that happened between Jesus and his mother and John on the cross, because it shows us that uncommon love isn't natural love. Stay with me here for a second. Boys and girls, did you ever hurt yourself really, really bad? Like, really bad? I mean, I want you to think about the last time that you hurt yourself really, really bad. How many of you have broken a bone in your body? You big boys and girls, you can raise your hands too. How many of you have broken a bone, an arm, or a leg? I have been privileged in my life to never have had a broken arm or a broken leg. I'm so thankful for that. But if you have had a broken arm or broken leg, I bet you that you were only thinking about yourself in that moment, right? Because that's how our bodies are designed. That's how we're wired up. We actually have a mechanism that is a God-given mechanism called fight or flight. How many of you have heard of fight or flight? And one thing that I know for sure, I've had a chance to observe people who have been in traumatic situations a fair bit because I worked in an emergency department for about 10 years. And when people are in trauma situations, everything becomes inwardly focused. Been there? All right, here's what I want you to do. If you haven't been there, I want you to do an experiment for me, okay? When you leave church today, I want you to go home and I want you to go out to the garage and get a hammer. And then I want you to go out to the driveway where there's concrete. And I want you to put your thumb down on the concrete. I want you to wail on your thumb with that hammer once, just as hard as you can. Okay? When you've done that, then I want you to spend a quiet moment contemplating the pain of others around you. Okay, boys and girls, don't do that, okay? Don't hit your thumb or anyone else's with a hammer. But if you were to do that, one thing that you would know right away is that in that moment of great pain, there's not a lot of thought about other people because everything becomes inwardly focused. Science actually tells us that people actually, in moments of trauma, get tunnel vision. Literally, it can become like the world has compressed and you're looking into a tunnel. That's a real phenomenon that people experience. And yet, in the moment of great pain that Jesus was experiencing on the cross, his love was other-centered. His focus was other-centered. That's uncommon. That's unnatural. Now watch this. Mom love is uncommon love. I got a cold last week. It was rough. And I was coughing. I was sniffling. I almost didn't want to come to church last Sabbath. I said amen at the second service, kind of croaked the word amen out, and ran to the back hallway and coughed for about 5 minutes straight. In the peak of my suffering and despair during the week, I live with three women, don't forget. And one of them, named Keely, came to me and showed me a meme. And it was a woman in childbirth, and it said, in the pain of childbirth, a woman can finally begin to imagine the way a man feels when he has a cold. And I thought to myself, you ungrateful child. See, mom love is uncommon love. Pray for me, y'all. It's rough growing up with three ladies in the house. I have a great deal of respect for my wife because I have watched the process of childbirth. Anybody watch a child be born and not feel respect for the woman who gives birth to a child? That's an amazing, amazing thing. Sandy has delivered three beautiful babies, all around 9 pounds, and she's a believer in natural childbirth, so all without pain medicine. And I've watched this miracle that happens in that in the moment of great pain and suffering, there's a focus outside of oneself. Mom love is uncommon love. I want to say that I think that probably mom love is the most clear revelation that we see around us of the heart of God. Because in the midst of the pain of childbirth, there's an other focus. There's an other focus. Because the minute that child is delivered, all kinds of other things are going on all around. All kinds of painful things are going on all around. And a mom is wholly focused on the object of her affection. Amen. That's a beautiful thing that engenders a great deal of respect. In the midst of worst pain, her mind is on you, her child. It's a powerful image. And to see Jesus on the cross. By the way, don't ever let yourself think that because Jesus was God in flesh, that he did not experience excruciating pain on the cross. Amen. Jesus was fully God and fully human. That, to wrap our minds around that is almost impossible, but don't ever be deceived into thinking that Jesus somehow had a way around the pain of the cross. And in the midst of that pain, the Bible records an interaction between him and his mother and between him and his disciple John. Amen. It's uncommon love. Jesus is on the cross and his love is clearly shining forth as agape love. Pastor George's definition of agape love, self-giving, self-sacrificing love. The Bible here, the book of John, records the words, the disciple who Jesus loved. And I want to say, as I was thinking about this passage and the love that is revealed here, it might be tempting for us to say, well, of course, it's his mother and the disciple who Jesus loved. By the way, this is in the book of John. So John's writing, and he doesn't want to say, John, the favorite of Jesus, but he kind of leaves his name out and says the disciple who Jesus loved. And I want to ask you a question. Did Jesus have favorites? Did Jesus have, does your mother have favorites? Boys and girls, we just talked about the reality that mom loves me best, right? Like, that's the reality. Mom doesn't have favorites. Mom has a way to be able to love all of her children in a way that's 100%. And that's a thing that God is able to do as well. And so I wanted to call your memory back, if you were here for the time that Ty Gibson spoke here in our church, to what he shared about the fact that one of the mysteries of the uncommon love of God is that it's 100% for 100% of us. Are you with me on this? Jesus is on the cross, and yes, he's reaching out to his mother, and yes, he's reaching out to, as the Bible says, the disciple he loves, but the reality is that Jesus' heart of love revealed on the cross was for every single one of us. Amen. You are the disciple that Jesus loved. His heart of love was completely open in that moment, not just for his mother and for John, but for every single one of us. The Bible makes it very clear that his blood made an atonement for every human being, that for every willing heart, that willing to receive. Jesus paid a price that was sufficient for the atonement of every sin. The Bible in Isaiah 53 says that the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And I love the beauty of this image of Jesus on the cross. It's a horrific point in time. It's a horrific moment, but at the same time, it's the greatest revelation of love ever demonstrated in the history of the universe. Amen. 1 Peter 2:24 says, on him was laid the iniquity. He himself bore in his body our sins on the tree. That powerful moment. I want you to just hang on to that right now. And I don't care why you're here today. By the way, if you're here because your grandmother or your mother or your wife or your daughter invited you to be here with them, and that's the only reason you came, then I believe God has a message for you. And the message is, he loves you. He loves you the best. Amen. There's nothing that you've done that wasn't included in that full atonement that was made on the cross for you and me. And we serve a God who's coming after us in the best possible way. He wants to redeem us. And if God used, you know, a word from your mom to have you be here today, to just hear that message, then praise the Lord that you're here. And praise the Lord that he's not done with you yet. Praise the Lord that he's working in your life to draw you to himself. There's no favorites in God's house because he loves all of us the best. I love that. I love that revelation of God's love on the cross. And so those words, standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus saw his mother standing there. No mother should ever have to watch what Mary watched that day. No mother. It wasn't in God's design that any mother would ever watch the death of their child. So we acknowledge the reality that Mother's Day is a painful day sometimes. Some of you as mothers, my wife included, have held a child in your arms who's died. And today, I brings back all kinds of stuff for all of us, you know, in our own journey. Pastor George and Leanne talked about the mothers who have passed that have meant so much to them. And Mother's Day encapsulates a whole range of emotions, but I just want to say, as a father, speaking into that reality, that the fact that Mary watched her son die that day on the cross is an insurance. It's an assurance and an insurance for us as parents that there is a day coming, because Jesus' story didn't end on the cross that day. Jesus' story ends with him coming back to earth again and being the ultimate victor over death. And so for us, for all of us that experience pain around Mother's Day, this story and the fact that Mary watched as her son died, that there's power in that moment to be reminded that there's a day coming when Jesus comes back again and death doesn't have the final word. And I love that, because what Jesus was doing on the cross that day was for Mary too. That song that we know and love and gets sung at Christmas time a lot, Mary, did you know your baby boy, you know, this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. It's so much power there. Death doesn't have the final word. And Jesus speaks into that moment, that reality, and he says, "Dear woman, here's your son." Listen, if we want to follow the example of Jesus' uncommon love, it speaks to caring for our mother. It speaks to caring for the mothers that God has put around us. Anybody here blessed to have more than one mother? How do we care for the mothers that God has given us? And I love the tenderness in this moment between Jesus and his mother, because it's another way in which Jesus kept the commandments. Honor your father and your mother. And here he is in the moment of his greatest pain. And think about it, you know, Jesus, this is Jesus' estate plan. Jesus didn't have an estate plan, so to speak, but he had a plan. He didn't have an estate. What did Jesus have? His earthly possessions, think about it. The money bag that they carried as a group had been given away to betray him. There was no money. The one piece of clothing that he had that had any value, the soldiers in the verses immediately previous to this had just gambled away. Jesus had nothing to his name except for a mother to care for. His estate plan is to say to the disciple that he trusted. By the way, think about this. He trusted a disciple because the disciple John, because scripture records that the rest of the disciples had all run away and fled. There was a group of women that were there at the cross that were following Jesus. All of the men had deserted, and John is there. And Jesus is like, here's a man I can trust, a man I can know is going to look after the source, the greatest source of uncommon love in the human realm that I've experienced in my life, my mother. Jesus has a plan. And his plan is, John, this is your mother. So how do we care for our mothers? And I don't know the answer for you, but I want to say that as you wrestle with this passage this weekend, the question is, how are you going to honor your mother? How are you going to honor not just your biological mother, but the mothers that God has put around you? How are you going to honor your mother-in-law? How are you going to look after the physical and spiritual and emotional relational needs of the women that God has entrusted you to love? For all of us, that question comes. Man or woman today, how do we honor our mother? I'm guessing that this weekend is not a surprise to most of you men, and you probably already made some plans for how you're going to honor your own mother, how you're going to honor maybe the mother of your children, how you boys and girls are going to honor mom at home. I'm guessing that there's probably going to be some pancakes delivered to the bedroom. Breakfast in bed is a good thing. Let's see, moms, what else could make me a hero right now? I'm guessing that there's going to be some extra house cleaning that happens. There probably should be. That's probably a thing. Do the stuff that doesn't get done every week. You know what I'm saying? Scrub a shower, the tile grout. You know, I don't know. There are ways that we demonstrate love for mom. Sometimes words are the ways that are lacking and that we need to demonstrate for mom. What do you need to say to your mother? How long has it been since you communicated something significant? Not just something that Hallmark made up, but something that you, that came out of your heart, words of affirmation and appreciation for your mother. What about time? Well, we're all so busy. You know, I'm getting in the car tomorrow morning and driving to Milton Freewater to be with my mother for Mother's Day. That doesn't happen every year. One of the things about being a pastor and Mother's Day being on Sunday is that oftentimes it's a challenge to be together with my mother. We're taking the girls out of school on Monday, and that's all right. It's just one day of school. They're going to be all right, and we're going to spend Sunday and Monday together with my mother and with Sandy's mother. Amen. Just the gift of time. That's a significant thing. I can tell you that there are parents that I hear from that say to me, I just wish that my kids would call or come for a visit. And that's not to put guilt in our hearts. It's just to say that if we want to follow the example of Jesus' uncommon love, then time is one of the ways that we do that. And I think that all of us are living busy lives, but I've noticed something, and that is that usually the things that are at the top of my list are the things that get done, even in the midst of my busyness. One of my mentors said, you always have time for the things you do first. We were talking about making time for faith and for spending time with Jesus. We always have time for the things we do first. So what are you doing first? What are you doing at the top of your list for mom? Looking after physical, spiritual, emotional, relational needs. Not always an easy thing. There was a time after my dad passed away. When my dad died, I made a commitment that I was going to be there for my mom and be present for my mom, even though we lived far apart. And for me, that meant that I made a commitment to talk to my mom every day. And there were days where that was easier than others, because there were some days my mom was living alone. There were some days when we didn't have anything new to talk about, but my mom would be happy to talk for an hour on the phone. And, you know, I look back on those times. My mom is remarried now, and so there's another man that she has in her life, and I'm thankful that she's not lonely the way that she was. But I look back on some of those days, and I'm thankful for the time that we were able to spend together. How are you loving, how are you caring for the mother that God has put in your life? Jesus, he looked out for his mother. And he said to John, it says in verse 27, he said to this disciple, here is your mother. So to his mother, he says, here's your son, talking about John. And then he says to John, here is your mother. And I love that Jesus entrusted the care for his mother to somebody that he loved. But you know what? There's an element in that story, in that narrative, that I had never seen until this week. Were the words of Jesus responsibility, a weight that he laid on John? Or were they a gift that he gave to John? Think about it for a minute. Let it sink in for a minute. Jesus wasn't just saying, John, from this point forward, you got a job to do. He was saying, John, from this point forward, you have a mother in my mother. It's a gift that he gave to John. The greatest source of human love that Jesus had known, he's now, part of his estate plan is, there's another man who's going to know the mom love that I've known during the course of my life. That's a significant thing for John and for Mary and for Jesus in that moment. But I want to say it's a significant thing for us as a church family, a community of faith. You see, there's an emptiness that we experience, that we experience in our lives. Sometimes we are tempted to feel like we're all alone, and the reality is that we're not alone, because the scripture record here is a record of God in the person of Jesus here making connections between people so that needs are cared for, and that so that people can experience the mom love, the relational love that is a piece of his uncommon love. Are you with me on this? There's an old hymn, an old spiritual that the lyrics go, sometimes I feel like a motherless child. But the reality is that in God's economy of uncommon love, there's no such thing as a motherless child. And there's no such thing as a childless mother. Are you with me on this? God is in the business of helping people to make meaningful connections and to not experience loneliness and emptiness in their lives. And so no matter what your journey is around issues of parenting, around issues of relationships with parents, around issues of what it means to be a son or a daughter, I'm speaking now to men and to women, to fathers and mothers. In the context of uncommon love in the church, there's no motherless child. There's no fatherless child. There's no childless parent either. There's no mother without a son or a daughter. There's no father without a son or a daughter in the economy of the kingdom in uncommon love. Amen. I love that the passage ends with this tangible reality. And forgive me, I'm gonna spend a minute on this. So thank you, praise team. Just be patient. We're not done. But here's the end of the verse. From then on, this disciple took her into his home. Are you with me on this? See, the words that Jesus spoke from the cross weren't just words. They weren't empty. I mean, they weren't received as like, wow, that was really great, Jesus. Thanks for doing that. Man, that was like the best Hallmark card ever right there. That was awesome, Jesus. Thanks for saying those words. And then everybody goes on their separate ways. No. For Mary and for John, those words from Jesus on the cross, that demonstration of uncommon love of Jesus on the cross, were life-altering words. Jesus' words inspired action that changed the course of the future for both John and Mary, because it changed the living situation. It changed the relational dynamic. The reality of the life for both of them was different. Mary went through the experience in that moment and during the years after Jesus' ascension into heaven, not as a mother with no son to look after her. She had John, and it was a real connection, a real relationship. John didn't go through the rest of his life. I don't know what the story of John's mother was up until this point. Maybe he had a second mom in Mary, but the reality was she lived in his home. It was a real thing. All right, now I'm going to go to Madeline and say that it's not enough for us to just read about what uncommon love looks like and go, like, that's awesome. That's a great picture. No, God's reality for us as a church that embraces uncommon love means that it makes a difference in the way that we live. Amen. And for some of us, that difference is going to be very, very significant in the sense of it's going to be a life-altering kind of change when we truly come to understand what it means to embrace the uncommon love that Jesus is calling us to. A couple weeks ago now, I had the opportunity to sit over at East Hill Church and listen to Stephen Curtis Chapman talk about the journey that his family has been through with adopting children and helping hundreds of families to be able to adopt children. And it was a powerful testimony. Many of you know that they lost one of those children that they adopted, but God has used their story and their commitment to helping other children, motherless and fatherless children, to be able to know the love of a mother and the love of a father in uncommon ways to change the life of literally thousands of kids, because their story has become the story of others, and they have a foundation now that's helping families to adopt. 3 or 4 times in the last month, I've heard from the front powerful testimonies of Christians who have made decisions to include in the love of their family kids who aren't experiencing that love through adoption. Some of you guys are going to go home and have serious conversations about how other kids could experience love that you have in your family. And that doesn't necessarily equal adoption, actual adoption. I know that for many of you, you're already making the difference in the lives of others. So many of us have more than one mom figure or more than one dad figure in our life because of the living out of the uncommon love of Jesus. There's a pastor in Nevada who calls my mom, Mom, and my stepdad, Dad. And they met him living in Madagascar on a trip that they took and ultimately ended up sponsoring him to the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary, where he trained to be a pastor. And my mom and stepdad have little grandkids that call them Grandma and Grandpa, because of the kind of uncommon love that God calls us to. See, this is a real reality, and it's not just a sermon that we talk about. It's not just something nice that we say on Mother's Day. But God's design for the church is that there are no motherless kids, and there are no parents that don't have children. There are no grandparents that don't have grandchildren. That we truly begin to live out and act out the reality of uncommon love. We're going to sing about the amazing love of God as it's revealed in Jesus. Let's stand and sing together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the mom love that you've put in our lives, that you've put in our community of faith, this family that we have here, that every one of us could experience that reality. We don't worship moms, we worship you, Jesus. But thank you for moms and the way that their love points us to your love, your uncommon love. Thank you for the demonstration of that love on the cross. Thank you that even in the midst of that pain, that you remembered your mother, that you honored your mother. May we follow your example. Show us today ways, real ways, concrete ways, that your Spirit would lead us to love and to honor the moms that you put around us. The women of faith that have poured into our lives. And God, I pray that you would challenge everyone here today, young or old, male or female, that in the economy of heaven, as we seek to live out your uncommon love, there are real and tangible ways that we can do that, that we can live out the reality that in Jesus Christ there are no motherless children, there are no fatherless children. That inside the love of Christ there's no parent that doesn't have child love in their hearts, that they can have an object of that affection. I pray that you would give us eyes that can see and hearts that are open to respond to what your Holy Spirit leads us to do in the name of uncommon love. We thank you for the gift of being able to be together and experience your uncommon love today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.